But I just gotta know one thing. Are you ready? No, I said, are you ready?
This is Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, your first stop for everything professional wrestling. So sit back and enjoy wrestling talk at its finest with your hosts, Larry Hall and Joe Corrado.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. This is another episode of Brotherly Love Wrestling
Podcast. Now get the hell out of here. We don't want you to come in. Get the hell out of here. We don't want you here. Go. Go. Be gone. Listen to some other cooler podcast. You fickle fucks.
Okay. That's one way to start it. Let's jump right into winners and losers. So we're gonna start. Let's start with fans in general.
They're the losers?
No, they are the winners.
Oh,
since that usually comes first.
I thought they were the fucking losers.
No, that comes later.
Okay.
But first, winners, the fans, because what's going on in wrestling as a whole right now?
We're here for the cheap pop.
Yeah.
Rah, rah, rah. The fans win because everything's great. I mean, in all honesty, I mean, the G1 is shaping up to be just absolutely phenomenal. There's about five Match of the Year candidates just coming out of this tournament alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you have AEW gets a big announcement today, and we'll go over that later on.
Yes.
You have smaller brands like 205 Live thriving right now. And if you're not watching it, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you are watching it and you listen to us, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's great matches in a short amount of time. You only have to spend an extra hour, watch it whenever, because it's on the WWE Network, and you can get that for, let me check my numbers, $9.99.
Dramatic pause.
Don't ruin my fucking swagger here.
But, I mean, aside from those big companies, you got Evolve, you got Beyond. There are so many that have stepped up and deliver insane quality wrestling. And as a fan, it legitimately is, I think, a better time to be a fan than it was in the Attitude Era. It was great then. But there are only two major companies that you could really watch. This, with the internet and everything, there's so much more available to a wrestling fan now than there was.
It gives you more of an identity as a wrestling fan. You're able to actually pick your preference, because back in the day, you saw what you saw. That's pretty much it. You got either your WWF, your WCW, or your ECW,
mm-hmm.
depending on where you were at.
Yeah.
And, I mean, technically, not the best wrestling. I mean, there were some great wrestlers that came from there, but it's not like they were highlighted. You highlighted the big names, the leg drop, the punch, the kick, the elbow drops. You highlighted all them, the limited move sets, but the larger-than-life personalities. But now you actually get to pick your preference on what style of wrestling that you actually like, because there's so many different styles out there, and then you're running all these different promotions where you can pretty much pick and choose what you want. The only problem is that you can't compare it. You can't make a blanket comparison like, oh, they don't do this, so they're terrible.
Yeah.
Everything is different, and you're watching something for something in particular. Don't watch one thing expecting something that they're not known for and then bitch and complain about it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Let us do the bitching and the complaining, because we are better at it.
Especially you. You're definitely better at it. We're going to stick with winners, because we only have one loser, so we're going to go all through the winners, then we'll go to losers.
Because that loser is such a loser, they're going to make sure that they're known that they're such a loser that they had to wipe out three winners.
Sure. So, second winner, Bray Wyatt from Monday Night Raw Reunion.
Insert episode, insert winner, Bray Wyatt. Insert episode, insert winner, Bray Wyatt. If we had Slammy Awards still, I think Bray Wyatt would be the fucking Owen Hart of the winner-loser Slammy Awards.
You're right. You're absolutely
right.
In
the win column.
Yeah, but the entire thing that they did was very good. Attacking Mick Foley, having Mick Foley come out there, do his cheap pop, and then coming out and giving Foley the mandible claw, which now, of course, people are speculating that this is going to be his new finishing move or whatever.
It is sick and vile.
Yes.
Sticking your hand down someone's throat and choking them out in the weirdest fashion.
Yeah. So, I think it would fit. I think it'd be good. It'd be good to refresh that move and put it on a new superstar. And he can have
some sort of like he's got some crazy costume designers, like big name costume designers mm-hmm. working with him right now.
Yeah.
Making the puppets and his fucking mask. So yes. He can have some sort of crazy love. He doesn't have to have. Obviously, he's not going to use the sock and he's not going to pull it out of his ass.
No, that's not going to happen. So yeah, kudos to Bray and the writers and everyone that put that together because it was a very good segment. And
he looks like now that he doesn't have like the crazy when he was on the big screen and he doesn't have the crazy hair and the long ass beard anymore. He looks exactly like Bo Dallas.
Oh yeah,
like right. I know that they're brothers and yeah, like of brothers course. Normally yeah. like, but even his mannerisms, he was. But like you could take out Bray and put in Bo, and it would look exactly the same.
Yeah. Oh, it would all fit. The cheesy big ear to ear smile.
Yeah.
It's identical. Absolutely.
It's like they're trying to like fraudulent on your taxes or something.
What they could do is do that and have him have a twin, and you could run Bo out there and you could do it. At least give something for Bo to do. Eventually he could be down the Fiend. Road. Yeah. Well, not the
Wouldn't
Fiend.
Wouldn't that be crazy? If it wasn't Bray the whole time, it was actually Bo. It was the Fiend. Like Bray came out.
You could do it.
Like you could. You could have Bray come out and have the Fiend there in the ring, and like that would absolutely blow people's fucking minds. Like speculation would be like, who is it? Who's the Fiend? Like that's a fucking great angle though. That's gonna have people tuning in to find out who the Fiend actually is because it's not Bray Wyatt. And then all this time leading up to it, you're like, oh, the Fiend and Bray Wyatt, they're one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
But in all actuality, they weren't. Those tiny-brained fans, their heads would spin. I could just see Bill Fry right now just, like, shitting himself and crying at the same time. JB's doing fucking spins in the corner. He doesn't know what fucking way he's up and down. Oh, man. Those are our two fans. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I would love for it to go that way. Don't ever see it doing it, but that'd be great if it could go that way.
I think they could do it.
I mean, I know they could do it, but it's...
They won't do it?
Yeah, exactly.
So you mean Triple H again, I give you gold, and you give me nothing.
You had 3 Triple H shout-outs last week and still nothing. You realize that.
Yeah, I know. Maybe he's using a burner account to get my attention.
I don't know.
We were followed today by someone that is Tai Chi stripper pants.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like, this is going to be a weird day.
Obviously.
And it is.
So on to our last winner. And I'm going to say the 24/7 title is a winner. I heard the backlash and I heard the praise, but I think overall I loved it. I thought the entire concept of the night for Raw Reunion, having it change seven different times, 8 champions in total for the night, was, I thought, amazing. I thought there was a cut like Pat Patterson losing to Briscoe was great. I thought Alundra Blaze almost dropping it in the trash can, and the Million Dollar Man coming out and buying it from her was great. I thought it continued to be very, very well done. And in the end, you still have R-Truth walking away and kidnapping his wife, Drake's wife. So I think, all in all, I think it was very well done. I texted you. And I said, I don't understand why people are so goddamn negative, because I haven't smiled that much watching Monday Night Raw in a long time. I thought they did a great job. There were some down spot here or there. And that is where our loser comes in. And DX and the Click. And Joe knows more than anyone how hard this is for me to call DX and the Click losers, but I don't know if it was the booking. I don't know if it was the guys. It just wasn't that good. It really wasn't. It could have been done a lot better. Honestly, when Triple H and Shawn Michaels were standing in front of Seth and Gallows, Anderson, and Styles threw up the Click symbol, I thought they should have turned and beat the hell out of Seth Rollins and done that and turned and have completely just a heel turn on that as DX. But I understand why. It was just a push for Rollins. It was supposed to be Ricochet, apparently, but he had an infection in his shoulder or elbow or whatever it was. So it was Rollins instead. But I don't know. And then DX coming out, the NWO coming out, all of them in different shirts. Eh, I don't know. It just fell a little short to me.
And that coming from the Clickmark 2000.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I was not able to watch it because Mother Nature, she is a bitch. And when she wields that hammer, she striketh down the power pole, thus ending my excitement for watching. My nostalgia act DVR wasn't running. It was just, I just went to bed at like 9:30. I was like, fuck this. And I slept on the floor. It wasn't a good night. Monday was not good.
All right, so let's move on to This Week in Wrestling. And we got a good amount to talk about. And I think we should start with the best wrestling that's going on right now, and that's the G1 Climax.
Okay.
So, it's last week we gave the standings.
Buckle up, ladies and gentlemen. We're about to hear Larry butcher some names.
I am not. So, we gave the standings last week, and man, it didn't get any better for Ospreay so far for me. It's my pick is really, really not looking good at all.
I think he has to win out to actually...
I think you're right. He only has 2 points still. He hasn't picked up any points since our last show.
He's got to win out.
Yeah, so he's basically out, but...
So by logic, if he's not winning these matchups, how is he the best in the world? How? How is he the best in the world if he's not winning?
Match quality alone.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
You're saying Seth Rollins can't put on a good match?
I didn't say that
at all. Is that what you're saying?
I didn't say that. Don't be putting words in my mouth.
Is that what you're saying? Is Seth Rollins can't put on a 5-star match like Will Ospreay?
He hasn't in a while.
Okay. Is that because of the wrestler or is that because of the booking?
The booking, absolutely.
So Seth Rollins, you're saying, could put on a 5-star match?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. That's all I want to hear.
I've never said anything about Seth Rollins not being a great wrestler.
I'm sick and tired of all these people telling me that Seth Rollins isn't a good wrestler. He's a great wrestler.
Easy there, Jerry. Easy. All right, so let's go to the standings. Now we have a two-way tie at the top. Actually, we still have a two-way tie at the top,
In
the A block. Kenta and Okada both having 8 points.
And they are facing each other. Do you know when?
I do know when.
Okay, good.
Saturday, this Saturday coming up, the 27th, they'll be facing each other. So that's going to be breaking the tie. Yeah, that's going to be
the one to insane. Look for.
Well, because tonight is Block B, and we have Moxley, who in the B block is the leader with 6 points, and he could jump up into 8 with this win here tonight.
Whose pick was that?
Shut the hell up. No one likes someone who brags.
Or everybody likes someone who brags if they do it well enough.
But then, like, there's a insane amount of people with 4 points in both blocks. I mean, Archer, Evil, Tanahashi, Ibushi as well, all have 4. Juice Robinson, Ishii. That's the more popular number, is kind of staying in the middle with that 4. And especially if Moxley keeps winning, he goes to 8. It's just going to be like a 3-dog race at that point, depending on who wins tonight.
Not necessarily. There's still some matchups that haven't happened.
Ishii faces Naito tonight. So, but Naito has...
2 points.
Yeah, Naito has 2 points. So that's it's still a big match, but... I don't know.
They're all big matches because they all have the same implementation.
Mm-hmm. Sure, we'll go with that. Implementation.
I'm pretty sure that's a word, but...
I don't think it is.
Sedimentary rock.
But Sunday, Naito versus Moxley. I actually can't wait to watch that match. That should be a really good match, too.
I'm pretty sure implementation's a word.
You sure? Because you weren't really sure when you said it.
I know, because I said it in my head. I was like, why does that sound so weird? And then it came out, and I was like, oh, man, that was weird.
Didn't get any better as it came out?
No, it didn't get any better, because I said it like, I'm Ron Burgundy?
So, going forward, right now, we have depending on the tiebreaker on Saturday, you have a possible matchup between Moxley and Kenta or Moxley and Okada as far as the end?
No, you still have a couple weeks till the end.
Well, I know, but I'm saying with the leaders that we have right now, yeah, if we just cut it down to them three, obviously we don't know who's going to win with the tiebreaker. But what do you? Who would you rather want if you're looking at the end?
Former WWE wrestler John Moxley versus former WWE wrestler in Kenta.
Exactly.
Yeah. They wouldn't do that. They shouldn't do that.
Yeah, they shouldn't do that.
No, and New Japan's not going to do that. I mean, I could see Moxley coming out. Because when are they ever going to get Moxley Okada again?
They're not. Well, no, I mean, they're not for sure, no.
No, they won't. So Moxley, Okada winning the G1, picking his opponent and whoever that might be. But Moxley's not making it all the way to Wrestle Kingdom. His journey stops in a couple months. Once they go live on TV, he is AEW property.
Yes.
So what do? You make your G1 final, probably one of the most anticipated matchups that you could possibly have. Is that what you do? Because Moxley's, he's going to lose the title. We don't know who he's going to lose that title to yet.
Yeah.
He could still lose a match and come out of the B block as the winner. True. So yeah, whoever beats him could be the first contender for the United States title.
And he still has to face Juice.
And he still has Juice. And yes, that is still a possibility.
Yeah.
That Juice actually gets one back. And, I mean, there's your match.
I don't know what New Japan's schedule is as far as shows after the
G1. Believe us, we're not experts in this. There are many other experts in this that probably have this broken down a lot better than we do. But I'm thinking big money match for the end of the G1. There it is. Okada, Moxley.
Yeah.
And that gets physical.
Yeah.
And that gets very physical. I mean, Moxley, Ishii, I thoroughly, and I put it out there and I said, I meant it, I really haven't been overly too impressed by Moxley's first few matches. But that Ishii match, that had me locked right away.
Yeah, I completely agree.
As soon as they got in the rings with each other, it was...
Yeah, from the very start. I agree.
And it delivered.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that his match with Cobb was not very good. And I said that when I watched it. It just wasn't... Just didn't look like there was any chemistry whatsoever. It was still hard-hitting. It was still okay. But it just wasn't like this. This was insane.
Moxley has a completely different style than all of your workhorses.
Mm-hmm.
Where he won't be the carrier of the match for the most part. Like him versus Omega. Omega's going to be, I feel like that's going to be a really great match, but Moxley has a certain style that doesn't mesh well with everybody.
Yeah, no, you're right.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah. No, you're right. It is a very.
It's a scattered offense. It's
strange. Yeah.
I mean, he's mixed a lot more wrestling holds and wrestling moves into his offense. He's not just frantic kick and punch.
And like limb targeting as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's stepped up his game in that aspect, and that makes him mesh well with more. But, I mean, look, even in his WWE days, and I know it was not all his doing, or so he would tell you. I mean, his style was just crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, it's nice to see that he's not just that anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. The hard-hitting style I really like. I like the brutality of it. And it completely brings a different feel, different style.
What New Japan is.
Exactly. Is the strong style. And I like that he's going to fit right in with that. And AEW, that's going to be a big game changer with a lot of different guys. That style is going to come in handy. So, speaking of AEW.
Sure.
The big announcement that came today.
Are you ready for the big surprise?
AEW will air on TNT on Wednesday night, October the 2nd at 8 p.m. from Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C.
Capital One, how many they hold?
Well, the Wizards play there. So,
so you're talking
17?
You're talking
18, yeah.
Wells Fargo numbers.
Yeah, absolutely.
hockey and basketball arenas.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big step. That's a big leap. You go from 11 to what? 17, 16, however many they try and fit in there. 15 is probably a sellout, maybe.
Somehow I don't believe they're going to have a problem. I don't think they're going to have an issue.
And you know what? We bitched about it. They came to the East Coast.
As soon as I saw Capital One Arena, I was like, oh, wow, okay. It's not in Chicago. I'm surprised.
No, D.C.
Yeah.
The nation's capital.
Pretty fitting. I like that. I like where they opened that up at.
Did you see the poster?
I did.
Front and center.
Yes.
Former employee of Mr. Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Also Ted Turner. So, Jericho, front and center.
Yeah, very smart.
Hangman Page pushed to the back left almost.
Mm-hmm.
Is that telling of something?
It tells you that Jericho's going to sell more tickets than Hangman will in the beginning. For sure.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
As I look down their roster, and I look down at WWE's roster, I notice pretty much the same thing, is that this is why you see ratings drops. It's not because, well, it's not only because of booking and creative and whatnot. The down numbers are because the popularity of wrestling, even though wrestling is great, and this is probably one of the best times to ever be a wrestling fan, the numbers just aren't the same as the Attitude Era. This is not as pop culture relevant as it was in the Attitude Era. So the spike in numbers that we saw this week for Raw was because of the Nostalgia Act, quote unquote. That wasn't even a full arsenal.
Yeah, you're right.
That wasn't even a full arsenal of the legends that could have come back to boost ratings even more.
Yeah.
Holding at 3 million. That's because you have more people tuning in because you brought back their favorites. They don't know the people like they knew.
And the funny thing is, I think majority of that was because of Stone Cold.
And that is a very... Because it stayed constant. Because, I mean...
Like you said last week, you save Stone Cold till the end. And you keep people waiting on him.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you do. I mean, I'm not the only genius that knew that.
Yeah.
But I believe that the drop in numbers isn't because... And I don't think AEW will ever hit the number that they had back in the day either.
What do you mean, wait, back in the day? Oh,
like,
you mean...
WCW and WWE, WWF. Well,
yeah, I don't think you're getting that many people watching. You're talking... I mean, back then, what were the numbers? The number... Because they were close for a while.
Yeah, I think you had highs of like 4.2 or something.
Yeah, so you had... But and then the other show would have 2.8. So you'd have 7 million people watching wrestling. You're not going to get 7 million people watching wrestling today. It's not going to happen. No. As great as it is, it's definitely not going to happen.
Because you don't have those larger-than-life personalities. And yes, you can try to build them, and they can be larger-than-life for the time, but they will never be larger-than-life. And that's not just because... It's just because the passion and the want and the craziness that surrounded everything back in the day. Yes, it was bad. If you go back and look at it now... It was a lot of it was bad.
It doesn't hold up.
It doesn't. No. Especially now that you've been predisposed to real wrestling and a lot of it and just what we said at the beginning, the various different styles and whatnot. It's fun to be a wrestling fan. But the larger-than-life personalities, because I guess they're not what they used to be and the fans are expecting something different, like there'll never be another Austin. There'll never be another Hogan.
No. Yeah, you're right.
There'll never be another Ric Flair. There will never be these people that will be larger than life, that will be known timelessly. And that's not all their fault. That's partially our fault. We want to see, one week we want to see this person. Well, how come they didn't utilize that person? We have so many different thoughts being thrown around by everybody. It's impossible to get on board with one person.
No, you're right. And the build for that one person or a couple different ones for each company, it gets harder and harder, especially with pop culture, because that's the biggest thing. That's when you start drawing in those big numbers as far as viewers go, is you need the eyes. You need someone that's going to cross into mainstream. The Rock obviously did, but, yeah, but he's not coming anymore. He's not coming back. He's not shooting all these movies and then coming to Raw.
That was after he had already transcended wrestling.
Yes.
He was already The Rock, and then Hollywood put him over even more.
Yeah.
Like, people already knew The Rock. The wrestling fans and the commoners knew The Rock. My wife references the People's Elbow, who doesn't watch wrestling. Yeah. She knows The Rock.
Yeah.
Before he was Dwayne Johnson. The Lord Cena was the last one.
Yeah.
And now he had transcended wrestling and now is in Hollywood. So now he's on the main eyes. But you don't have really... I mean, it shouldn't be that way. Like, you have to build the name in wrestling and become larger in life throughout all of the wrestling community. And then, I mean, Roman Reigns is one of your closest ones that you have right now.
Yeah, yeah, because, I mean, he's been on ESPN. He's been...
And that's where your pop culture comes in. That's where you get the sports fan and the people, the word of mouth.
Yeah, but I still think the wrestling perception is the same as wrestling perception always is with non-fans.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't change. It comes back around eventually, but right now it's still the normal, well, yeah, but it's fake.
It's fake. And that's it. People touching each other in their underwear.
Exactly. So until that perception changes with a lot of younger people or people in their teenage years... You're not going to get more viewers. You're not going to get Monday Night War viewers. It's not going to happen.
The showmanship is gone. And the build up for these larger than life characters is gone.
Yeah, it's great as we keep saying it is. It's not going to be as big as it once was, unless something
drastically changes.
Exactly.
And I don't think this war that people are saying it's not going to be a quote unquote war. Because they're not running on the same day, but it might not be a war, but it'll be a battle.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll be a battle, but the numbers aren't going to be the same, and the way that is perceived is going to be vastly different because of the internet.
Instant gratification, I mean, is going to take hold, and from whatever they're doing, that's where it starts to take place.
And these fans today don't know how the war went. A lot of the younger fans... They didn't live it. They know about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why partially they don't understand why it's a big deal for some of these people to be coming back and what the big appeal was, because they're not what they're used to. They're not these flippy people. They're not these... They were different characters. They were characters. They didn't have the wrestling ability. They were just characters. And that's what we fell in love with, was the character. The wrestling didn't matter as much. It's the characters that had the catchphrases and all that funny shit. That's why they're... popularity as the nostalgia act resonates with us 30 say maybe 25 and older.
Yeah it's about that.
I mean, they were younger, but
yeah,
I mean, nowadays it's completely different. Well, how come? That's why you'll see a 20-year-old arguing that Kenny Omega is on Hogan Austin level, which, I mean, yeah, they're great. He's great. Him.
You know what? And I don't mean to sway this to a basketball debate.
Go ahead.
But this is the same debate and...
LeBron and Jordan.
Exactly. It's LeBron and Jordan. Because you compare LeBron and Jordan, and I promise I won't spend too much time on this, but everyone keeps saying, who's growing up now, who's in their early 20s or teenage years, that LeBron's the GOAT. No, LeBron's not the GOAT. Mike is the GOAT. Mike is the best ever. And they say, well, yeah, but he can do this and he can do that. First of all, you can't compare them. Because of, A, the body size, the position they play, the time they play, their competition. There's so much that goes into it. Just like you can't compare a Kenny Omega to a Hulk Hogan. It's two completely different things.
I know this.
And when people start doing this, and I hate the LeBron, the Jordan thing.
It's
perception. And I hear it at work all the fucking time, and I can't stand it. But
well, you should be
the
like,
same thing.
You should. That's how you should stop the conversation. Well, who do you think's better, Hulk Hogan or Kenny Omega? And they'll be like, Kyle will be like, shut up, Larry. And the rest of them will be like, what the hell is he talking about? What the hell's a Kenny Omega?
Well, they'll know what Hulk Hogan is.
They'll know exactly what Hulk Hogan is.
Yeah.
But they will look at you like you have three heads when you mention a Kenny Omega.
Yeah. So it's really hard when people try and do that. It's just a different
style. It's what
everything.
You prefer.
Yeah.
You weren't around when Austin was in the prime of Stone Cold. You weren't around when Hogan was Hollywood. Everywhere.
And Hollywood.
Yeah, and Hollywood. You weren't there when Flair was fucking, literally fucking everything that moved and just living the lavish lifestyle. I mean, if you weren't there to actually live through it, yes, you can go on the WWE Network and you can watch it, but it's not going to hold the same ground.
No, that's the thing. You can watch it all you want. You don't have to wait for next Monday night to see what's going to happen in this storyline, or when something happens and it cuts off right at the exact point of the 10 o'clock hour or 11 o'clock hour. Like, you don't have that. You don't have the anticipation. And not only that, fans are more jaded now. They don't believe what we used to believe. They don't get caught up like they do because you get spoilers all the time and you know all these different rumors that come out. So it's completely different. But that's okay for it to be completely different because we need something different.
It is, but that being said, the completely different, which is good, it will not reach the gravitas that it once was.
No, it won't. Yeah, agreed. So let's move on to a couple of different matches that were made for SummerSlam.
Uh-oh.
We have the first one, which was obvious, which is Seth versus Brock for the title. And
set in stone.
The second one, which is the one I'm more excited for, is Kofi Kingston calling out Orton on SmackDown, and now it's Orton versus Kingston, and now they broke down this fourth wall and that Orton held him back and didn't let him get up. So I really like the way this story is already going, and it's only the first night.
Orton has proved once again why he is the complete package, and when you were to think of who could be the perfect wrestler, when you think in your head,
aside from Kurt Hennig, of course.
Sorry. Blonde locks and all. Randy Orton is that guy, and he's, I mean, yes, when he started, it looked like he was handed everything because he was the third generation superstar, the baby face, the young gun, whatever the hell you want to call it. Yep. But he's grown into what could arguably be one of the best of all time. And I'm going to take title reigns out of it because when you're pushed, you're winning a title, and that's all decided within.
Yes.
Even though the fans might want it too, but I'll take titles out. Just on pure ability and the way that he won on the mic, his persona in and around the ring, the way he sells, and he's able to carry a match with pretty much anybody. With pretty much anybody. Not a lot of people could do that.
There's not many matches I can remember of Randy Orton to where I've gone, man, that really wasn't good. It doesn't happen very often.
There is probably some out there.
Of course.
Everyone's got their
exception. Yeah.
Yeah. But he can go with anybody because of the way he's the storyteller. And he's going to give you yours, and he's going to get his.
Mm-hmm.
And it's...
Well, and aside from that, the greatest superstars and the best that have ever done it know how to evolve with their character, but still be the same character. And that's what Randy has done. Like, you remember when he first came in, and he had the bowl cut, and it was parted in the middle, and he was hurt. And he kept doing those promos about how everyone missed him, and that I'm coming back soon. And then he came back, and that's when Evolution picked him up and he started becoming the Evolution. Then he became the Legend Killer. Legend Killer was some of the most amazing work. Because him and Foley and all the legends that they would put in front of him, it was really, really good. Then he evolves into the Viper and becomes this guy who's
going to... He's a snake.
Yeah, but that in between, before he became this now grizzled veteran, you forget that, like, where he started punting people in the head. And Stephanie McMahon was one of them. Like, it was brutal, and then he moves to what he is now, and now he's just going to RKO out of nowhere every single time.
He's that good that he only needs one move now to beat you.
Yes. And he's one move, three letters. That's all he needs.
He's evolved so much that he only needs one move,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to beat you.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. I think him and Kofi are going to kill it. They already did I thought the promo was great, and it's
this definitely... This is the match. Like, I didn't think Kofi was going to... I thought... Well, beside the fact that I didn't think Kofi was going to make this one, which I'm pleasantly surprised that he has.
Yes.
I mean, this is, like, the first real, like, scare. Like, I feel like Kofi could lose this one. The other ones, I didn't think he was going to lose. especially wrestling Ziggler 6 times.
Yeah, I see that too.
And once, I mean, Joe could have, but the way he's been booked, that it kind of, he's a 50-50. So when he beat him once, I mean, he's not going to beat him again.
I still have doubt that Orton's going to beat him. But to your point, it is definitely the most I've felt that he's going to.
It's very,
give
very
up the title.
Possible.
I'll give you that. Yeah.
Especially ending summer, going into a new Fox deal. I mean, you don't know. You don't know which way it's going to go, which is good.
Yeah, absolutely. The unknown is the best part. So,
other than that,
we have one more thing for this week in wrestling because it is now 2 days away. Is our show with PWE, Pro Wrestling Explosion, coming up on Friday night. I know we've talked about this over and over, but hey, we're a sponsor, and that's what we should be doing. It's going to be a great event. Wrestle Factory, Northeast Philly. If you already haven't bought in tickets, first of all, there's 2 days left. So.
Or bought. No button.
Did I say button? My bad.
If you haven't bought the tickets, you better buy them soon, or you're going to miss out.
Why am I Jewish all of a sudden?
I was like trying to do a little bobcat in there.
Not squeaky enough, but a nice try. I'll give
I would have hurt the microphone if I wasn't squeaky.
But you got to come out, got to see the main event, Cheeseburger versus Joey Ryan. Don't know who Joey Ryan's partners are going to be. I personally can't wait to see Anthony Green wrestle live once again because I got to see him at Evolve, but now we get to see him at Northeast Philly. It's going to be a really good night of wrestling. It's going to be fun. So we hope anyone and everyone can come out and come see the event.
We got our shirts in.
Yes.
Come and get your merch.
Yes, absolutely. So I think we can move on to the promo of the week.
The promo of the week.
So, we've run into a little technical difficulties.
What happened?
Well, I didn't load it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I forgot to load it, so I'm going to do it by memory. Here, I got it. The promo of the week was Ziggler and Shawn Michaels. I'll be playing both Ziggler and Michaels in this scenario, so bear with me.
You know, you could just, like, we could just talk about it. We don't have to necessarily do this.
All right, we'll wait for the fans' response.
No, that's your response, Joe.
Oh, okay. We could just talk about it. I know now we're robbing the fans of a fucking good skit, but you know what? Fine. Be that way.
I mean, they cut a really good promo. Not a surprise, really, with Ziggler calling Shawn Michaels an embarrassment.
Well, you had Ziggler, you had Miz, and you had Michaels. I mean, pretty big mouths.
Yes. The part that I liked is I liked Ziggler calling it embarrassing, calling Shawn and his match embarrassing, because it was.
I like that he said that, look, you were the guy that was never supposed to come back.
Yes.
You were that guy. But every time the dollar bill comes by, you come waddling back in, soaking up the spotlight.
And he's right. And he hit that on. I thought it was perfect.
The truthfulness in that they're allowing, I mean, whatever, if they're writing it for him or if they're just saying, you know what, here, we're pulling a bunch of Twitter responses up right now. We're going to turn this into a promo. This is what they bitch about. This is what you're going to bitch at them about bitching about.
Yeah.
Because everyone's saying it and them actually coming out. I mean, Ziggler, Sami Zayn, you have Kevin Owens. The real Samoa Joe. The realness that comes out, it's refreshing.
Yeah. And it is, like you said, it's right off people bitching on Twitter.
Yes.
It really is. And when he called him embarrassing, I do like Shawn Michaels' response because I was like, all right, Shawn's really not going to hit that hard. And then he comes back with, well, what's embarrassing is you worked your whole career to be a second-rate Shawn Michaels wannabe. And that's dead on because he even uses sweet chin music. Like
he used it on him
to
knock him out.
Exactly. So I think both parties were great. Miz was... had a good part in it as well.
Yeah, he was there as the middleman, but, I mean, The Miz is going to get his, too.
Yeah.
It looks like they're setting up an angle, again, with Ziggler and The Miz, which, don't get me wrong, I like it. I liked it for the United States title. I liked it when Miz was the one who was ending Ziggler's career, potentially. I mean, those two have great chemistry. They're friends off camera, so putting them in a, I mean, it's fine as long as it doesn't eat up everything you have. As long as you, I mean, they do have to have other people there. There has to be other superstars that get their time. Ziggler and Miz is one of those exhausted feuds that, okay, if you're just using it as a match for SummerSlam, okay, but don't let it eat up your a good half hour of your show.
Yeah, and I think with Miz TV, you have that time to where you can just put it in there. You know what I mean? And then that's your build for it. You can keep doing that. Although, you can't do it too much because then it gets a little boring and
it's the same. It's the same thing over and over again at that point.
So, I think that'll about do it for... Actually, no. I'm wrong. We have one more thing before we get to the main part of our show. We have the rumors. Hallelujah!
I like that one. I like that one because everyone thinks it. Now we just have music to play for it. They're like, finally, the rumors. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
All right. So first rumor, Charlotte Flair is looking for an opponent.
The queen. She's going to have the best opponent. She's going to have someone better than Ember Moon. She's going to have someone that's the best women's wrestler ever. So she's getting Victoria.
No.
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 She's getting Awesome Kong.
Probably still under contract with AEW.
Okay, so not Awesome Kong or Victoria. Molly Holly?
No.
Not Molly Holly.
Let me give you a hint.
Okay, best women's wrestler of all time.
Charlotte Flair has started referring to herself on social media as the queen of all eras.
The queen of all eras.
Yes.
Okay, I don't know what the fuck that has to do with this conversation, but go ahead.
Because she's going to bring back someone from...
The lost era? Lita?
Not the lost era.
The land of the lost era?
I was looking at, I don't know, the attitude era, but... Because she is from Toronto, where SummerSlam is being held, there's talks of Trish Stratus being the opponent for Charlotte Flair at SummerSlam.
So they could be launched into another stratosphere.
Yeah, that works. That sounds just as corny as WWE would probably make it sound.
Michael Cole, just imagine Michael Cole getting a hold of that one.
Jesus Christ, talking about, are you ready for stratisfaction? I can't handle these one-liners. I can't.
But the thing is, that was meant for Sasha Banks.
Yes, you're right.
That was definitely meant for Sasha Banks, and that was even preluded in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, it
was. That was the match we wanted to see. Now, do I think Charlotte is going to have a good match? Of course, because that's what Charlotte does. But the more intriguing, the more interesting, the more devilish. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to keep going with it. Matchup would have been Trish Stratus versus Sasha Banks. And that's what the world wanted to see. But we're not going to see it. Sasha's not around. Sasha's not coming back. Sasha go bye-bye. So instead, we get Charlotte Flair in a marquee matchup, which will probably overshadow one of the women's championship matches, or both, versus Trish Stratus. And it's going to be a barn burner if they give them more than 33 seconds time.
I think they'll give them more than that. They'll get their time.
They'll get theirs. So, SummerSlam could, when all said and done, be a good 7.5-hour show.
Probably. Unfortunately, yeah. It's looking like that.
Put it on a Saturday. Start it Saturday night and let it end Sunday.
So, the second one I got is Hallelujah. About Impact.
Uh-oh. We haven't brought up Impact in quite some time.
No, we haven't. So, Impact and Access TV...
have made a deal.
Can't come to terms on a TV deal.
They couldn't come to terms.
No.
I actually have Access for the time being until I tell Comcast to go fuck off, raising my bill again, those little shitheads.
Apparently Anthem wanted to buy Access. And Access is owned by, well, partially by Mark Cuban, owner of the Dallas Mavericks. But I don't know if they're shopping. Exactly. I don't know if they're shopping it around or why Anthem would all of a sudden want to.
Play all those old school, like, behind the scenes music fucking things that my father-in-law watches. He comes over and changes my TV to Access. I'm like, oh, maybe wrestling's on. No, it's like unplugged and weird versions of fucking bands from the 70s.
So, unfortunately, Impact Now was still on Twitch and still, I don't know if they're on Pursuit because I don't watch it or have it.
Still struggling to get that mainstream market.
Yeah, so
they're doing some cool things behind the scenes. If you haven't been watching, they're one of the forefront leaders in intergender wrestling right now with their Sami Callihan versus Tessa Blanchard.
Yes.
Their feud that they got going on, which is actually, it's good. It's really good. And if you're going to have Tessa Blanchard as the face of your company, which she pretty much is, she's got to be able to beat everyone, right?
Yeah.
She's got to be able to put on a good match with everyone. It's a different direction, and I like that they're doing it. They're Me doing too. Something different than everyone else. Look at ROH. ROH right now isn't doing anything different.
Yeah, I just like the roster that Impact has. They do have a lot of talent. It's just their booking, their direction, their writing is just iffy.
It's not there.
No.
It's almost like, okay, AEW is being started. They're going to put WWE out of business. When, in all actuality, AEW starting is going to put some other people out of business. It's not going to be WWE.
You're right.
They're going to hurt some of your favorites.
Yes.
They're going to take away, they damn near might absorb ROH.
Yeah.
Because when those contracts are up, their top stars are getting, so look, Flip, AEW. Marty, AEW. I mean, you're going to take some of the top talent, and then the rest will get scattered through NXT and New Japan.
Yeah, it's a fun time to be a wrestling fan. There's a lot going down and a lot going to be happening over the next couple years. So that'll do it for rumors, only two this week. So now we move on. You'll remember a little bit ago we had a wrestler. His name is Leo London on, and he talked about a dream match on our show. So we're going to have Leo back on, and the reason why is to follow. So listen to the audio, and you'll find out.
I would like to get to the States at least once before I'm wrapped up. I'd also like to wrestle Mike Quackenbush if I can finagle him out of retirement.
Now, is that a mentor or an idol of yours?
Absolutely. He really inspired me. He's a smaller person, right? And he wrestles that technical style that really influences me.
Mm-hmm.
And just really look up to him.
Yeah, we are only about 15 minutes from the Shikara gym in Northeast Philly. So we've gone to plenty of Shikara events and seen Quackenbush. And the show he promotes and puts on is a great show every time. And he's been on a couple different cards that we've seen. And he is a technical master in there. It's pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, he's next level. I really can't stress how good I think he is. Just phenomenal.
All right, so with that clip, we have the gentleman grappler himself, Mr. Leo London, on the line. Leo, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
So we just heard the clip and you talking about how wrestling Mike Quackenbush would be kind of a dream match and how much he's been a model as far as the wrestling career. From there, how'd this match come about?
Well, he announced his 25-year celebration tour.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if wrestling me would be important to you, send me a message. So I did, and I did it so fast, I didn't stop to think, well, maybe I should ask my promoter or anything like that. So when he got back to me, as quickly as he did, it was 30 seconds of excitement and trying to contain that I'm, like, communicating with him and that this could happen, and then terror sets in as, I don't know where this match is going to happen.
Yeah, true.
But luckily, my promoter just said, take the ball. Let's do it. I was like, sweet. And then the whole thing came together really quickly.
So so Mike reached out to you, or back to you, after you say that. Now, how long have you been a fan of Quackenbush? How long have you been following him?
Since before I was active. So 7 years or more, 7, 8 years.
Okay. And I mean, did you tell him like how he was an inspiration, or you didn't want to kind of mark out in front of him?
When I first sent him the message, I did say that he was a big influence to me. Yeah. And mentioned how important it was for my career and all that stuff. And even if he didn't reply, I just wanted him to know that. Oh, okay. And it just turns out he did.
Nice. So when and where is the match going to be?
September 21st in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Nice, September 21st.
So that'll come up, I'm sure, for you more rapidly than anticipated.
Yeah.
Now, what do you do for preparation for this match? I mean, this will be the first time you're stepping in the ring with this person. Is there anything that you're going to have to do differently? Is there any preparation that you normally don't do that you'll have to do for this match?
I'm going to double up my ring time. Normally, I only train in the ring like once a week. I'm going to do double on top of my bookings and stuff, just to make sure I'm as sharp as possible when I get in there with him.
Hmm. So now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm working on a strategy where I'm going to say I can't match him hold for hold in a wrestling sense. Mm-hmm. So I'm working on a strategy where I can fall back on jiu-jitsu. He may not be able to escape the lockdown or a position like that.
Wow. Okay.
I've always found it interesting. I've never always been a fan of the mixed martial arts making its way into the wrestling ring, but I feel like for technical wrestling, it's kind of an easy transition, and it's kind of a gimme because they're almost like the same thing.
Yeah, it's actually improved my in-ring style, I think, and added to my game so much since I started jiu-jitsu seriously. It adds a whole nother platform, another level.
And it gives fans another thing to relate to you by.
Yeah, exactly. And it's recognizable now. Like when you throw on even the cross arm bar, people take it seriously now, and they may not have before.
Yeah, because if you're watching the UFC or you're watching any kind of mixed martial arts, you're seeing that all the time and people legitimately tapping out to it.
When you see someone's elbow dislocate in that hold, you're like, well, this is a serious hold.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So is there any possibility of maybe the event streaming or anything like that to where fans could watch?
I've personally hired a film crew to be there.
Great.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it's not like a huge film crew or anything. It's just a two-camera setup. But yes, there will be a roaming cam and a hard cam, and I'm definitely going to put it out.
Okay, great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, that just shows, A, your excitement level, and B, that how serious that this is and how much this means to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially because after you bought one of my T-shirts, thank you very much.
Yes, I did. It's great. I love it. Thank you.
And having never wrestled outside of Canada and selling T-shirts in America, the UK, Japan, Australia, Spain, I want to make sure that those people that are following me online can see probably the biggest match of my life and my whole career. So,
Now, with that, now that you've achieved this, that you've gotten this dream match that... What's next? I mean, it's just like, okay, I'm done. but I mean, as a wrestler, you gotta obviously keep wanting more. So where do you go from here?
Me and my brother would really like to set the record for the longest tag team title reign in PCW history, which should be over 2 years.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah. So we've still got our eye on that prize.
That's a pretty good goal to have. How long are you away from that?
I should be back in the tag team scene in October.
Okay.
But that's kind of taking a backseat to wrestling Mike Quackenbush.
Of course.
You could leap into superstardom fame for all we know.
Maybe. Maybe. I could be on King of Trios.
Yo.
That would be great because that's...
That's
King of Trios, that's our area. We would love to see you come down to our area to do that. And I'm glad you said that because we saw a tweet earlier today that you kind of interacted with the Jim Nasty Boys who were also having on the show. And speaking of the King of Trios, so You want to tell everybody what you said there?
I said I would be a perfect third man because I already have a move where I stick my finger in my butt and then my opponent's mouth.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would be allowed to do that in Jakarta, though.
Yeah, that's a good point. They're PG down in Jakarta, yes. So I mean, that trio alone would be amazing. That'd be great for us to see you guys all together.
I think it would be great, and I would love the opportunity, of course.
Now, will you be talking about this with Mike Quackenbush after your match or before your match? Or probably afterwards.
I don't know. I'm just going to seek his advice and see what he thought and just pick his brain as much as I can.
Use this as the ultimate.
Just hope I impress enough.
Use this as the ultimate learning experience.
Yeah, exactly. Especially because he's doing 2 seminars the day after.
Oh, in your area?
Yes, the same place.
Okay.
So I'm gonna wrestle him, and then the next day 2 seminars.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, gonna download as much information as possible.
So, is it safe to say that Mike Quackenbush is one of the top guys that gives back to the wrestling community right now?
I would absolutely say so. Because his new web series, Till We Make It, that gives advice that blows my mind even now. It's like I wish I knew that years ago. Things like it's like having him as a coach without you having to be at the Wrestle Factory.
I mean, and it is amazing, and we follow him, and I make sure I follow him as much as I can, and it always seems like he's always teaching. No matter what, he's always doing something that is helping someone progress.
Yeah, absolutely. But his book, his podcast, and now the YouTube show, and of course the Wrestle Factory are all helping the next generation move forward, and he offered to do the seminars for us. We didn't ask him to do it. He wanted to teach. So we're very happy to have him.
Yeah, it seems like that's one of his biggest passions is obviously not just professional wrestling, but be able to teach professional wrestling and spread his wealth of knowledge to as many people as possible.
I don't want to speak for him too much, but it definitely comes off that way to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah,
he's very passionate about teaching. That comes across in his work, I think.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, and obviously we don't want to speak for him as well. We're just going off of sheer what we see and how we equate that.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is a good thing. I mean, it's not like we're speaking ill. We're speaking only positive.
Yeah, yeah.
So you said that you and your brother's goal was to be that longest reigning tag champion for your promotion. Are you guys currently the tag champions?
No.
Okay.
We actually recently lost them when our boyfriend broke up with us.
Okay.
So to give the background, the Gentlemen's Club was actually 3 people originally.
Okay.
And just for fun, to pop ourselves, me and my brother thought it would be funny if we were competing for the third guy's affections, Alex Vanna.
Okay.
And we just did it to pop ourselves. We weren't thinking about, like, the thought of representation and things like that didn't really cross our mind. But once we realized we were on to something and the crowd was actually responding to him kind of snuffing us all the time and us, like, loving him,
mm-hmm.
It actually got turned into the full storyline and became a storyline about representation, and we were on screen a full-blown homosexual polyamorous relationship, and he caught Alex Vanna out of jealousy, cost us the tag team titles because we weren't doing our jobs good enough to get him the title.
Huh. Man, that's involved.
Yeah. And the amazing thing is, initially, me and my brother thought we would get heat for, like, the crowd would react negatively to us doing, like, quotes, gay stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it turned us babyface. So it just shows how progressive the wrestling audience has become. And it was great to be a part of something that was progressive like that. And it was completely unintentional.
Now, it's not something that you see all the time, too. Does it come, when running an angle like that, does it come with negativity as well?
There were a very small group of people who are of course against, let's say, alternative lifestyles, mm-hmm. but they are definitely drowned out by all the positive feedback we got.
It's kind of a refreshing outlook for something that used to be more chauvinistic than anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I just can't express how happy I was to be a part of it, and that my company, PCW, is all about pushing equality and inclusion, representation, all of that forward. We have no problem with intergender matches. Women are treated as equals. People of color are treated as equals. I mean, the heavyweight champion is Antonio Scorpio right now. I highly recommend anybody watch his works. If you like seeing true hoss heavyweights, he fits the bill.
Wow. All right. Yeah. I mean, that's amazing. And kudos to the promotion for, you know, I mean, being as open as they are and not having a problem with that and pushing that along. Because like you said, you could get some heat from some people or certain groups of people, but for them, especially from a business standpoint, them to be like, well, guess what? We're going to do it, and we don't really care how it really affects that. That's really great and amazing that they're willing to do that.
Yeah, and we recently did a show during Pride Month where all of the ticket sales went into a donation to a local queer charity.
That's great.
So, yeah, it went over really well, and I'm just so happy that everything's progressed the way that it has. It made me feel safer with coming out about who I was.
That, I mean, and that's probably one of the most important things, is making people feel comfortable and not feel like they have to keep everything in and put into a corner.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody should have to go through that.
And really, that's the only way to evolve, is to adapt to the lifestyle, not just one lifestyle that people live, but the lifestyles that everyone lives.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head.
I do that sometimes. Not all the time, just sometimes.
So, Leo, we thank you so much for coming on. We're so excited to see this match, and excited for you that this has come up and you get the opportunity. And, I mean, keep us updated. We'll definitely give out any information as far as when the video comes out and stuff like that. And, hey, and if you talk to Mike Quackenbush and you're going to be in our area, we'd love to come see you wrestle. So you definitely, we can definitely start sending out tweets about it and hope to get you booked here in Philly and King of Trios. And hey, we'll talk to the Jim Nasty boys. Maybe we can get this King of Trios thing going and get you guys all together.
That sounds good to me. Give me the rub.
Yeah. That's what we're here for.
All right, Leo, thank you so much again for being on. It was great talking to you, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you again for having me.
Anytime.